people who have attended these events historically, especially the past several years, these events have really grown. It's been very popular. There's been very high amount of visibility at these events since we do it as a public-private partnership, and the fundraising itself leads to greater visibility. As a result, we've had a huge amount of traffic at these events. People may recall the very first one done this style, 2012, the wait times were significant, a couple hours for some people. The wait times have improved since then, but still, traffic congestion is an ongoing issue. Everybody wants to arrive really early and get it done, which means all the traffic comes at once. And so appointment only seeks to regulate the traffic so it comes in waves as opposed to all at one time.
What is your logistical train? How many people can you accommodate in a 15-minute period or whatever you're measuring?
So, yeah, we're setting up appointments in 15-minute intervals, and we're setting up right now for 85 cars every 15 minutes. We have four lanes of processing going on at that time, and so that should allow us to do more than the 2,000 cars that we've historically seen. We know there will be heavy traffic times and still lower traffic times even with the appointment system.
What are there predictable lulls and surges given on the time of day that you are?
Well, we'll see that as we get closer to the actual event and see when people have scheduled their appointments. We assume most people are going to want morning appointments, and so afternoon appointments are what are probably going to remain open if people are signing up late for an appointment.
How late can they sign up?
So we will take appointments up to 2 o'clock, and that's historically what we've run this event is 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And usually, yeah, afternoon is when things slow down, and so we anticipate that'll happen this time around as well with the appointments.
Are you worried that people are going to say, you know what, I don't plan my life on weekends that carefully. I'm just going to go, oh, I can't go because I have to have an appointment. Oh, I guess I won't get it done.
Well, you know, you could say that this presents a barrier to participation. We've seen from other communities that have moved to this model, this now become the default across the state for hazardous waste collection events, that the appointment system really makes it more efficient and is very successful once people get over the hurdle of just acclimating to that kind of cultural shift for the appointment.
Who started the appointment system and how many communities do it that way?
I can't say how long it's been going on. I've been hearing about it for several years now, and we thought this was the year that we should really give it a try. I was encouraged to do so by other communities. Will County is one community that's been doing it for a long time and really encouraged us to take a look at it. There's a couple others as well that have been using it. And yeah, it's just very successful where it has been used.
Is there out-of-the-box software, or did you have to write your own for the web page?
We're using some online appointment software that I think it's intended for, you know, haircuts and other types of appointments, and so it's pretty versatile.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is Michael Brown of the Ecology Action Center talking about the Household Hazardous Waste event now set for September 7th. How much is this going to cost? You had been running a certain amount, but cost estimates change, don't they?
They do. And so we've been budgeting for the past couple times. We budget as much as $175,000. We've been coming in under budget the past couple times. This time around, we do anticipate costs will be going up. We've hired actually the same contract we've been using the past few events. We did it through a competitive RFP process, but still ended up with the same contractor as they tend to have good pricing. But yet this time around, we are seeing that there are some cost increases, labor costs, transportation costs. E-waste is costing us more this time around. And so all in all, this event is probably going to be our most expensive event yet.
How is fundraising going?
Fundraising is going well, but we still need help. We're probably at about $9,000 out of the $35,000 goal, but we always do see this time of year when we do announce the event, obviously there's a surge, and we're asking for donations as people do make their appointments to come and drop off their hazardous waste.
Does the type of waste dropped off change the more frequently these events happen?
I don't think we've seen significant change yet, but that will be interesting over the longer term to look at the trends. We have been working hard to educate people about latex paint and the fact that it's not hazardous. There is definitely some changes in just the materials and hazardous nature of different commercial products. And so right now, if you were to go to the store and try and buy oil-based paint is harder to find. It's actually really for pretty limited uses at this point, whereas 10 years ago, oil-based paint was still just about everywhere. And so oil-based paint being hazardous versus the non-hazardous latex paint, that should mean that we are, you know, eventually getting rid of most of people's, you know, back stock of oil-based paint that they have in their basements or their garages or what have you. Same thing with CRT monitors or TVs that, you know, they're
otherwise known as big hunks of lead.
Exactly. Those heavy leaded glass TVs and computer monitors, those, they're not being produced anymore. And so we do need to be seeing the end of those before long. Those are expensive to recycle properly. There's only a couple lead smelters left in the world at this point. And so the transportation costs and processing of that lead is expensive on those. And so it's those kind of things that we hope, you know, in a few more years, we'll be seeing, you know, little to no of those types of items, which hopefully will reduce overall costs. But yet, there's so many consumer goods that have hazardous, you know, materials, components, that overall costs, you know, may still continue to remain stable or could even go up depending on the trends in consumer shopping.
Are you set for staffing?
So this event does require a significant amount of labor, a lot of that being volunteer labor. We do need volunteers to sign up to keep this running smoothly. Volunteers help with traffic direction. They help out with passing out some information. They do help out with unloading of e-waste items from people's cars. People can sign up for volunteer shift or a couple shifts at hhwmclain.org. That's also the same site where people can make donations or set up their own appointment for this event.
Michael Brown is the director of the Ecology Action Center. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.